on me. It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy. You bitten on me. It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about?
All righty, guys, All Facts Media is here. We are happy to be joined by former of the Iger Purple Eagles guard and the newest Notre Dame Fighting Irish guard, Marcus Hammond. Man, Marcus, thank you for joining us today, man.
No problem, man. Thank you, guys.
No doubt, man. So, as you guys know, man, this is another episode of the Auto Bit, man. Before we get into the interview with Marcus, man, we want to encourage all you guys to please like this podcast, give us a rating. Tell a friend to tell a friend. It does go a long way in getting this podcast out to people who need to hear it, man. That was our guy, Pull Up Tay, on the intro. He's also going to be taking us out on the outro, man. Make sure you guys stream his music ASAP, man, one of the hottest artists out of the DMV. But, man, nonetheless, man, like I said, man, we have a treat today, man. We had a little Mac reunion right here, man. Obviously, you know, me and Ace had a chance to play against Marcus back when he was, I think, a freshman, right? At Niagara, and we were seniors at Quinnipiac, man. And, shoot, man, he's obviously now – you know, one of the best players in the MAC, man, just announced his commitment to Notre Dame. So we're going to go ahead and get right into it, man. First of all, man, you know, congrats on Notre Dame, man. That's definitely a big-time move, and we're definitely happy for you, man. But kind of want to know, man, like, what was it about Notre Dame? What was it about Mike Bray that made you want to call the Fighting Irish your home for next season?
Yeah, for sure. You know, through the calls, I was starting to, like, you know, get a great vibe from Coach White and Coach Bray. And, you know, just getting more confidence in them, like what they were telling me, you know, and what I could see myself doing there. But, you know, I felt like that visit was, like, very important. I kind of knew coming into that visit that that might be the place I want to go. But, you know, when I got on that visit, I was like, yeah, you know, just seeing the campus, just seeing the team, my teammates, you know, just how it's like a family-oriented thing. You know, everybody's close. You know, it's just all love over there, man.
Now, for Notre Dame fans who might not have watched too much Niagara basketball last season, man, describe your game and, you know, describe, you know, what you plan to bring to the table next year at Notre Dame.
Yeah, you know, well, now this is going to be my fifth year in college, so I'm definitely experienced, you know. I'm ready to, you know, win. I'm ready to get to the tournament. You know, they already, you know, been doing that. They were just second in the ACC last year. So, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, come on board and do that. But, yeah, I feel like playmaking, you know. I'm going to come in. You know, different games might need different things for me, you know. Might need me to have a lot of assists that game. Might need me to score the next game. So, whatever is needed from me, I'm ready.
Now, can I talk about your recruiting process a bit? I mean, like, what were some of the other schools that kind of reached out to you? And then, like, what ended up being the deciding factor that separated Notre Dame from some of the other schools that I know reached out to you?
Yeah, at the start of the process, you know, it was just a lot of coaches calling from different places. You know, some were really interested, some weren't. They were just, you know, flirting. Yeah. But, like, when it got down to the meat of it, like, it was, you know, Georgetown, Notre Dame, Rutgers, and Kansas State. That was basically, like, my top four, you know. And, yeah, that was basically, like, my top four. But, yeah, Georgetown, I really liked it, you know. I really liked it. I didn't get a chance to go to Kansas State. And then Rutgers, somebody had committed. So so basically I was down in three. And I was really like, know your name when I went on that visit.
Hey, man, you hurt my heart, man. You know, two DMV guys, man, telling Georgetown's on that list, man. I know they definitely could have used you, man. So you're hurting the heart, man.
Nah, that's a great place for sure.
Now, next year, you're going to be playing with J.J. Starling, who's a five-star guard coming into Notre Dame as a freshman. I mean, you know, what are you looking forward to as far as joining him in the backcourt? Obviously, you know, Mike Bray has had some great guards this year with Prentice Hub and Blake Wesley and those guys. I mean, you know, how do you see you and him kind of meshing together? Did Mike Bray kind of talk to you about that at all? And, you know, what are you looking forward to next year going into and playing with a guard like that?
Yeah, for sure. No, J.J., he's a great player. You know, I didn't meet him yet, but, yeah, like, you know, I heard that he's like, well, obviously he's McDonald's All-American, you know, got all the accolades, but I just know he's a great player, you know, really good at playmaking, really good at scoring. But yeah, Coach Bray touched on it a little bit with all the guys. Like, it wasn't no one like specifically he pointed out, but he just like sprinkled ideas and thoughts about, you know, everybody. And I was like, yeah, like all these guys could, you know, get busy at any given time. So it's just going to be great playing with them. But especially JJ, you know, because he's a freshman. So I feel like I got a lot, you know, experience and stuff that I could, like, teach him, you know. So I'm just ready to get on campus and meet everybody. But, yeah, I feel like we're definitely going to bond.
Now, Ace mentioned Blake Wesley, who obviously has decided to go and enter the draft. I believe Prentice Hubb is a senior. I'm not sure if he's announced if he's going to come back next year or not. Okay, he's gone too. So, obviously, you got they have a kind of big shoes to fill in the backcourt this year at Notre Dame. What did Coach Blake kind of talk to you about, you know, what your role is going to be and kind of how you can contribute to the team next year?
Yeah, you know, just, you know, coming in, you know, filling in for, you know, like the guys you just mentioned. Like, you know, he talked about Prentice leaving, talked about how Blake's in the draft. He told me, like, he was like, honestly, he was like, if one of those guys stayed, it would be no point of you, like, of me recruiting you, because I like to let my guards play a lot. So he's like, he wouldn't put me in that situation where I would have to come in those guys are still there. So he's like, man, like, I want you to come in and play. So that was, like, another big thing that, like, I wouldn't go there where, you know, I'm gonna just be there, you know. I was always looking for a place where, you know, I'm gonna come in. You know, I might not, you know, average the same numbers. I know that my assists definitely gonna go up, but, you know, I'm looking for a place where, you know, I can play on a higher level and, you know, win games, make it to the tournament.
Now, I want to rewind a little bit, man, because your journey is something that is really unique. I mean, you went from not having a single Division I scholarship offer to being somebody that was a three-time All-MAC selection, two-time first-team All-MAC. I mean, talk to me about a little bit, you know, from that point, man, when you were at Cardozo in New York, man, and, you know, not having any offers in from Niagara to come be the only school to offer you. And then, you know, 4 years later, you're sitting here, lead you with a leading score in the MAC or second leading score in the MAC, but, you know, three-time all-conference selection. Man, talk to me a little bit, you know, about that journey and what that was like for you over the years.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, growing up, like, I kind of hit my growth spurt late. I still probably grew, like, an inch or two in college. But, like, in high school, I was always, like, in the 5 feet, like, 5'7" to, like, 5'11" range. I was in that. But, like,
the uncle said you came in at, like, 5'4" as a freshman or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know if I was that short, but I know I wasn't that tall. But yeah, like my senior year, I knew, like, something had to happen for me, you know. Like, it's been a dream of mine. Everybody's dream to go Division I. But sometimes I was like, oh, what if this don't happen, you know? I mean, I rarely thought about that, but it definitely crossed my mind. But, you know, when I got that offer to Niagara, I kind of almost made a mistake too, because I didn't even commit. Like, I was holding out. Like, a lot of these young kids, if y'all watching this, like, if you don't have got a lot of offers, man, don't be holding out like that. You know, it's a blessing to have an offer, man. Go there, get your education and play ball, you know. But yeah, like I was saying, like, I was holding out thinking, like, some other stuff was going to come, but it didn't. And luckily, you know, when I called Coach, he still had the offer waiting for me. So that was a blessing. But yeah, like, even going to Niagara, like, when I first committed, like, there was blogs and, like, the fans were, like, killing me. They were like, why are we recruiting this little kid? You know, we don't need another guard. We don't need another short kid. So they were just going off. But full circle now, like, they love me. So it was just cool, that whole process.
Hey, man, that's a funny story, man. You talk about that Niagara offer and waiting, man. It's crazy because me and Ace were kind of in that same predicament our senior year of high school. Man, Niagara offered us in literally June of our senior year. So, yeah. Like, the year is already over, almost going to the summer. And we had a choice to make, you know, whether we were going to go there after our senior year or whether we were going to go to Putnam Science Academy and play our prep year. And obviously, we ended up deciding to go play prep basketball, man. But this is when Coach Casey was still there at Niagara. So, I mean, we went up there and visited. Who went up there with Matt and all them boys?
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Almost Purple Eagles, man. You know, but obviously, we ended up going to Quinnipiac, man. But I got to ask you, man, like, I remember when I was a senior and we played against you, man. I'm looking at you and I'm like, yo, this dude is tiny, yo. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Something like, yo, like, but you was like, obviously you only average 5 freshman year, but next year you go to 14 points per game. So, yo, how's this dude doing this, yo? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because you would think like, all right, man, you know, the physicality is going to get to him and things like that. Like, I know you probably heard that your entire basketball career. So, like,
I had people on the other side looking at me, like, well, during warmups, like, you could just feel, like, people looking at you, like.
So, like, now, I want you to kind of, like, talk about that a little, man. Like, what has that been like for you, man? I know that kind of gives you kind of, like, a chip on the shoulder, but I mean, also, I feel like for a guy, obviously, like, you just averaged 18 this last year. So, it ain't like, you know what I'm saying? Like you giving it up, too. You know what I'm saying? So, like, just talk about that, man. Like, especially when you first came to college, kind of how did you kind of battle with that, man? Like, being that small and still being able to kind of produce.
Yeah, for sure. But, like when I first got there, it was kind of like weights were embarrassing for me. You know, like, I didn't really know how to lift. So, like, sometimes I would just stand in the back, like, yeah, I got it, man. I ain't trying to go up there and, like, can't even get it up. And everybody, so I was like, sometimes I wouldn't even, like, I would just stand in the back, let everybody finish. And then after everybody left, then I would, like, lift. But, yeah, like, it was to a point where I had to start off with, like, 25 plates on each side, like, benching-wise coming in. Like, it was, like, I didn't really know anything to do. But, like, and then as far as, like, the basketball part, they was thinking about redshirting me, but it never got back to me. But it was just like, you know, conversations to the staff. But, you know, good thing it didn't, you know, come to me. So, and that kind of worked in my favor. So,
and you, Drew mentioned a little bit, man, but you went from averaging about 6 points a game your freshman year to your sophomore year, you averaged 14 a game. You were first team all MAC. I mean, what happened between that first summer and that second summer? Obviously, the coaching change happened with Coach Casey getting fired and then bringing in, first it was Coach Beilein and Paul's the assistant, and then obviously Paul became the head coach. But talk to me a little bit about, you know, that jump from your freshman year to sophomore year. What was that transition like for you, you know, and how are you able to go from, you know, that your freshman season to where your sophomore year, you were one of the best players in the MAC?
Yeah, for sure. Like, started my freshman year, I wasn't really playing too well, you know, so Coach stopped playing on me. And we had all MAC. Well, he was definitely on his way to all MAC, James Towns. That's like my big bro. Like, he had he was having a great year, but, you know, like, it's just, you know, stuff happened, you know, and, you know, it's kind of changed. But that's when I started playing a lot, and I had a lot of momentum towards the end of the year. Like, I want to say, like, when we got kind of in towards MAC play, I started, you know, pick it up a little bit. And that's where the 5.8 points came from. Because if it was just based off the first half of the season, I probably averaged, like, 1 or 2 points. But, like, it was a point. And then I just started picking it up. And then that flew all the way to the MAC. Even though we lost, you know, me and my roommate, Raheem, we had great games. And that confidence just built it over and carried over into the next year. And then when they had to change, it was, like, a whole clean slate, like, a whole new team. So, it was, like, Marv's gone, James gone, Khalif's gone, CD's gone, Dom's gone. It's like, it's time for somebody to step up. So, you know, I was given the opportunity, and I'm grateful.
Now, I also want to talk about it, man. Obviously, you mentioned, you know, that year you averaged 14, you were first team All-MAC. In the kind of your junior, it was a little bit of a dip. You kind of, like, your number dipped a little bit in field goal percentage, three-point percentage. Yeah. And then you kind of take it back up to 18 points per game this year. Kind of what happened in between your junior year that kind of caused you to kind of dip a little bit, and then kind of what did you do kind of to adjust and then be able to get back on track, you know, for your senior season?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like I didn't adjust well my junior year to, like, all right, so sophomore year I started off like, okay, that kid is good, but he's not, like, the focal point. But then at the end of the year, okay, he's the focal point of the team. But now it's different when you starting off the whole season with, like, yo, you at the top of the scouting report.
Right.
So it's like, I feel like I didn't do a good job of, you know, like, taking that into account and, like really thinking about, like, all right, like, you know, you're on the top of the scouting report. Like, you know, they're going to do things differently to you. They're going to play you differently. So, like be mentally prepared for that. I feel like it's just going into the game. And I struggled that year, like, a lot, you know, and I feel like I let one bad game carry over to another and just kept going. So, you know, ultimately, I mean, I feel like it was a point where, you know, that year I should have, you know, kind of like, all right, my shot's not going. Let me, like, start getting – I mean, I averaged 3 assists that year. I feel like at a point it should have got up, like, to about, like, 5. Like, seeing the way I was playing offensively, I was like, you know what, since they're going to have so much attention on me, instead of forcing it, you know, let me just, like, keep hopping it. But, you know, I didn't do that, but, you know, I kind of learned from it and, you know, carry that over to this year.
Yeah. Now, I mean, kind of building on that, obviously, being somebody on top of the scout every night, I mean, I know your coach Greg Paul talked about that, you know, all the time, about how teams are game planning to stop you, and every night, you know, having to go out and have teams, you know, attacking your ball screen a certain way or loading up to the ball in your ISOs. I mean, you know, what has that been like? What have you learned playing against, you know, those type of defenses, you know, over the past few years? How do you think it's going to help you, you know, heading into the ACC next year?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like all it is made me a better player. Like, I was doing a glimpse of this in high school, but I feel like I'm a way better player now than I was in high school, way better player. Like, each year, I feel like I got better. And I feel like all these, like, different things the defense is doing to me, it just made me a better playmaker. It made me a better scorer. Like, I was rarely going, like, ISO in high school. It was a lot of, like, ball screens or, like, catch and shoot. But, like, now I can, like, get my own bucket. I can create for myself and others. So I feel like, in a sense, it made me better because knowing that what's coming, I prepared differently and like, on my own. But I was working out on my own, working out, you know, with a coach. It was just, like, it actually helped my game, improved my game. So it definitely helped me.
Now, what do you have to say to the people maybe say, oh, he's too small to play in the ACC? ACC is the best conference in the country. It's, you know, you got UNC, for example, you playing against, you know, Armando Bacot of the world and those, all those big boys down there in the paint, man. Like, what do you have to say to people like that who might still doubt you despite what you've been able to accomplish already to this point?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you got to take into account that when you go to Notre Dame, you know, one of the best schools in the country, you're going to have, like, different facilities, different resources. Like, once I get a chance to, you know, use the facilities, you know, the nutrition, the different trainers, the weightlifting program. It's different than, you know, being here at Niagara. You know, this is a mid-major school, and everybody knows that mid-majors, it's just not the same, like, resources-wise. Like, you don't have the same facilities. You don't have the same meal plan. It's just, I mean, it's out of their control. You know, as much as they want to try, it's out of their control. There's so much you can do with the limited amount of, you know, funds and stuff you get. It just is what it is. But I feel like going to a school like that, like, I'm gonna have everything I need in one place, in one building. So I'm gonna be good for sure.
Now, kind of building upon that, I want to ask a follow up. What are some of the things that you're trying to add to your game this summer and all season? Like, are there things that you pinpoint? Like, all right, man, like, these are some things that we got to focus on going into this offseason to prepare me for that next step.
Yeah, for sure. Probably just, like, tightening up my ball handling, you know, and getting better on the defensive end, you know, getting better on catch and shoot, because I'm going to have a team of guys that's very unselfish, you know. You know, I might not be, you know, the top scouting for every game. You know, it could be a different guy every game. So now I can play off of other people. So it's going to be fun to do that. But, yeah, like I said, you know, just tightening up ball handling, getting stronger, getting better on the defensive side of the ball. Because, you know, like you said, those guys are going to be physical in that conference. So a lot of stuff that I may have got away with here, I might not get away with there. So, you know, just put my head down and just lock in.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to ask you, man, because obviously with this era of the transfer portal, like, I read an article in your high school coach, Ron Naclerio, I hope I pronounced the name right, he was saying that throughout your college career, he was getting calls all the time. Like, yo, man, if you put the name in the portal, like, you know what I'm saying, we'll take him, you know, this year. And obviously, this is back, you know, sophomore or junior year. So, I mean, why'd you stay at Niagara, man? I mean, you had opportunities to leave. Obviously, last year, the one-time transfer rule was a thing. You could have left at the last season and probably got a bunch of higher-level schools as you did this year. But, you know, why'd you ultimately elect to stay at Niagara?
I just felt like probably, like, I would have never left last year because, you know, the year I had. So that wasn't even in the thought. But probably, like, my sophomore, that's probably the year I heard a lot. I mean, my freshman year, because of the coaching change, you know, different people were saying, but I was like, I don't want to go nowhere. No, I don't – I didn't really, like – but now that I see, like, if you're a freshman, you average 5 points, you can still get looks, which I didn't know. But – just because you're a freshman and they see, like, you can do certain stuff. But as a sophomore, that's probably the year that the most people was telling me to go. But it was, like, you know, my dad, he kind of, like, yo, just, if you're going to start something, finish it out. Like, he was big on, like, loyalty and everything like that. And, you know, just doing something special for Niagara. You know, I didn't get a chance to, you know, win the MAC, but that's what I really, you know, wanted to do. But I feel like, you know, I feel like it was good for me, you know, just staying all 4 years, you know, just staying with the program, sticking with it, you know.
Yeah, man, I got to ask you this, man, because in the last couple of days, couple of weeks, man, I've seen a lot of dudes and a lot of Twitter posts talk about these NIL deals, man. Homie from Kansas State, Nigel Peck, just got 800,000. Sheway talking about he's going to get 2 million at Kentucky. For you, like, when you think about you going to play in Notre Dame in the ACC, you know, in the Power 5 conference, you know, TV revenue, all that kind of stuff, like, are you excited about that, man? These NIL opportunities, have you discussed that with Coach Brad on the kind of being able to open up some NIL opportunities for you, you know, as a transfer coming in, a guy who's already has, you know, extensive college basketball resume, and, you know, now you're coming into the ACC, like, there's going to be a plethora of opportunities now for guys to legally make money through NIL. Have you talked about that with Coach Brad on kind of any opportunities that may be able to come your way?
Yeah, it specifically wasn't Coach Bray. It was one of the media people from the school. Her name was Rachel. But yeah, like, they got so much staff that, like, what he talks to me about is strictly like basketball. Right. Everything else, like, they'll talk to me about. But like, yeah, like she was saying, like, you know, they'll be able to help, you know, everybody get deals and stuff. But like, it helps if you're producing, like, you know, like, the more you produce on that stage, like, you're obviously gonna get more opportunities. So, you know, that helps, but they're definitely gonna be, you know, working hard for us. And but they also said that it's our option, our choice if we wanna pursue, you know, deals. Like, they're not gonna force us, but, you know, I'm definitely planning on, you know, trying to get a couple deals.
I gotta ask you, man, just looking back, because like Drew said, me and Drew visited Niagara, you know, we ended up going up there in June, so it wasn't too many people on campus up there in Buffalo. But what are they doing in Buffalo, man? Like, what was y'all doing up there for fun, man? I know up there, out there, it's snowing most of the year, man. I was like, yo, I don't know if I could make it up here in the winter. Like, what was y'all doing over there? Like, what was campus life like, man? I mean, just talk to me a little bit about what the atmosphere was like up there in Buffalo, man.
I mean, it's definitely different. Definitely different than what me and a lot of people are used to, you know, being in a city life from the city. So a lot of fast pace, but like when you come up here, it's kind of like slowed down. It's like a lot of things close, you know, quite early than it does in the city. But like it took me no time to get used to it. You know, I'm not a person that likes to be outside all the time. So like I'm definitely a homebody, but you know, every now and then I'll go out, but like, I mean, we just like the one thing I can say though is like every team I've had here, like we bonded so crazy. Like we made the best out of everything. Like whatever we were doing, we made fun out of it. Like whether we were chilling in apartments, chilling in somebody's dorm room, go to bowling, go out somewhere, like we made it fun. So it didn't even matter where we were at, bro. As long as we was with each other.
Yeah, I mean, I got a cool question I got to ask you, man, the backstory, man. And before I give you the whole backstory and lay it all out, man, I'm going to need you to say, man, look, you know, we're on the podcast, so I'm going to need you to be honest here. You know what I'm saying? We need the nitty gritty here, right? So here's the backstory, right? So I'm on the Monmouth podcast, and this is, yeah, we're doing a MAC preview for the MAC tournament. We're going through the whole MAC tournament bracket, talking about seeds, matchups. And obviously, you guys faced Monmouth in that first round, quarterfinal round of the MAC tournament.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously me and Ace, you know, we're with Quinnipiac guys, so I was kind of reporting on Quinnipiac. And the Monmouth guys were telling me, man, they're like, yeah, man, you know, we're playing Niagara in the first round. And, man, every time we play Niagara, Marcus Hammond absolutely does it to us because I feel like, you know, in high school, they said that you really wanted to come to Monmouth. You know, you came on campus, you visited the school, you know, you were up there, like, you really want to come to Monmouth. And apparently, I guess it you know, didn't happen. King Rice didn't offer you, whatever it may be. And they said that every time you played Monmouth after that, you just torched them, you know, because it was like, yeah, like, y'all ain't want to take me. All right, bet. I got something for y'all. And it kind of reminded me of a story, man, because I obviously went to Quinnipiac. And I know you remember E.J. Crawford that went to Iona.
Yeah.
Like, he's a Connecticut kid, Hartford born and raised. Like, he was begging to come to Quinnipiac. And I always that Coach Moore, like, I don't know, they didn't offer him. They went too late to offer him. Obviously, he goes to Iona. Wins 3 MAC championships, kind of the rest of history. Obviously, we blew that one. But I want to know for you, man, like, was there any extra motivation for you when you played Monmouth? Like, yeah, like, I'm going to really get at these boys because y'all should have took me in high school. Like, and you know, is there any truth to that?
Yeah, well, I wasn't really offered by them. It was just, I was just always with a teammate, and like, he's like a big brother of mine. Y'all know him, Ray Sounding.
Yeah.
So, like, when he was, like, he would, like, go to visit – him and Billy, would like bring me up there with them, like just to like see how it is, like being offered, like how Division I campus is, how it is, because I wasn't really being recruited, like I said. So they were just trying to like show me the ropes. So I would come up there. I think I went up there twice. I went up there when he committed, and then I went up there for like what's it called? Like the Midnight Madness. Mm-hmm. Like every time I would go up there, I would try to like shoot around on the hoops and stuff, and it was dope though. But yeah, I never got the offer, and I was like, I was kind of like, damn man, they didn't offer me. Like I figured after I had the Niagara offer first, that they would follow up and offer, but they didn't offer me. So I was like, wow, that's cool. But then yeah, it was definitely some added motivation. Not even gonna lie, definitely.
That's real. Now you mentioned you and Ray Saunier. I was on somebody's Instagram. I saw a picture from like way back in the day. It was you and Tyson Walker. I don't even know how old y'all was, but obviously it was
like,
it was
like freshman high school.
That was freshman year of high school.
Yeah, we were small.
Wow, yo, them dudes like they was like 12 years old. Yeah,
I seen that picture.
Are you and him like super close, or are you guys like do you guys keep in contact like nowadays?
Yeah, for sure. That's my bro. He's a good dude.
Yeah, I remember obviously he made a similar jump last year going from Northeastern to Michigan State, and obviously this year, you know, he kind of, you know, there were times where he played well, times where he took his lumps. I mean, he spoke to him at all, you know, about kind of that process and what that was like, and you know, if he was able to give you any advice, what was it, or you know, if not, I mean, what did you kind of learn from just kind of looking and seeing how his process went as far as, you know, what you can expect going into your process next year?
Yeah, for sure. He called me. I mean, we called each other, but like called me like once I was in the portal, you know, just telling me like what to ask, you know, what to look for, you know, like things to watch out for, things that you should see if they do this, then you don't really want to mess with that. If they say something like this, you don't really want to mess with that. So yeah, he definitely helped me with the process, you know. It was just like a lot of my friends that like did that made the jump. Like they all tried to like give me advice, you know. Just to maybe they made a mistake here and there that they regret that they don't want me to make. But yeah, he definitely reached out. I called him a couple of times, and we definitely chop it up. When we on the phone, we probably on the phone for like 25 minutes, and then, you know, but yeah, it's never like no short conversation unless one of us got something to do. But yeah, it's always like in-depth conversation, you know, just like because like he has a full year under his belt, you know, with that level. So, you know, just asking questions, you know, just the whole thing. Yeah.
Now, my last question, man, obviously, you know, you're a New York guy, man. And I don't know, you know, who you root for in basketball, man, but obviously last night, the Nets just got swept out of the playoffs from the Celtics. So I wanted to ask you your thoughts on that, man. Like, what's your take on that, man?
I'm a big fan of just basketball in general. Like, I'm a LeBron fan, so I can't really be this. So this year, but like whatever team he goes to, I'll go. But if it comes down to a second team, I'm definitely like I don't like not like a diehard fan, but like I definitely root for the Knicks. You know, my dad's been watching the Knicks since I wasn't even born yet. I used to hate on the Knicks, so, even though they still not winning. I'm starting to like you know find that love for them. You know, just New York home. So I definitely root for the Knicks, not the Nets though.
So what's that dynamic like in New York? Because I was wondering, like, do people in New York root for the Nets? Because obviously they were originally in Jersey. Like, so for New Yorkers, have any of you guys or people you know that like, have kind of adopted the Nets as like their team, or are y'all kind of like, nah, beat it? Like,
if you really from the city, you're gonna be a Knicks fan.
You're from Brooklyn, or you're only like Manhattan?
No, just in general, like New York City. You're gonna be like if you were here your whole life. You're going to be a Knicks fan. I mean, those Nets fans is usually, I definitely would say Brooklyn people or, like, people that don't live in the city are, like, Brooklyn fans. But, like, if you're really from the city, you're a Knicks fan. You got it. Even if you're not a Knicks fan, you definitely going to want the Knicks to win more than the Nets, you know, just being that they, like, that's the city's team right there.
Okay. Respect. Hey, man, well, I'm glad you finally cleared that up, man. Like Drew said, man, definitely congrats on the commitment, man. Definitely super proud of you. Been able to watch you over the past couple of years, man. You're going to be watching you next year. Hopefully, we can go in here again, man, next year before the season or during the season, man. Talk about how you're turning the ACC up.
Gotcha, guys. Appreciate you, man.
No problem, man.
Take your best shot. I'm going to take the last shot. I'm joining the clutch, boy. You
waiting on me. It's time to get a check, boy. You want a sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What we talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy.